I want to begin this morning just with prayer. Let's go before the Lord. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you would deposit something into us today. We know that your word is good, it is powerful, it is alive, and it gets to the innermost part of who we are. God, I pray today that as you speak through me, that it would impact our lives and help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. So listen, everybody, once again, here we are in this studio atmosphere. And if you weren't with us last Sunday, we started a brand new series that we're calling Detours. This is something that God has actually been materializing inside of my heart for months and months now. This idea that sometimes things just don't go the way that we plan. Sometimes we think like, man, this is my dream. This is my path. This is the goal. I should hit this mark and that step and then achieve this. And then by then I'll be there. And just oftentimes we find it really doesn't go that way. In fact, the Bible is overwhelmingly filled with examples of people that it just maybe didn't go the way they think. And so maybe you find yourself in a season like that. Maybe you find yourself in a position where you're like, yeah, I really thought by now I'd be a parent. Man, I thought by now I would have that business. I thought by now I would have been promoted. I thought by now it would have been this way. And it turns out that it is that way. And here's what I want to say to you. You're not alone. Last week, we started this series, and if you call yourself a part of the Church on the Rock family and you missed it, I really want to encourage you to go back and watch that message. It really builds a foundation, I believe, of what God wants to do in us throughout the summer as we go through this series. Last week, we talked about Israel leaving Egypt, and we talked about the way that God would move in them and how it really didn't go the way that they thought, and yet God was still there, God was still miraculous, God was still powerful. Today, I want to go back into Exodus. This is a book we've been in a lot this year as a church, and I want to go back to the story of Moses. So what happens in this story of Moses is that God would call him, Moses, I want you to be the one that's going to go to my people, and you're going to be the one that's going to go to Pharaoh, the person that's holding them captive as slaves, and you're going to be the one that's going to usher and lead them out of their captivity and their slavery. There's this amazing moment when Moses sees this burning bush. God speaks to him through that, and he knows what his mission is. Here's what I find interesting, though. Moses did not think he was qualified. He did not think it was a good idea. And the Bible tells us that Moses protested. He just put his hands up. He kept saying, God, I don't know if I'm the best guy for this. I don't really think that I should do this. And maybe you have felt like that before. Maybe God's leading you to do something. And you're like, I don't know about this. You got your hands up. You're worried. You're concerned. Today, I want to get into that conversation with you. I want to talk about this with you a little bit today. And I want to take us to Exodus chapter 4. We're going to read 4 verses today, and we're going to unpack them a little bit and how this might apply to our lives directly. So in Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, let's read. The Bible says that Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never sent you? And I love this part, and here's what we're going to focus today. Then the Lord said, verse 2, he asked him a question, and he said, what is in your hand? What do you got in your hand, Moses? And Moses replies, well, it's just this shepherd's staff that I have. Moses had been a shepherd leading sheep throughout the wilderness. God is now going to call him to go lead people. And he says, well, I got this staff. In verse 3, and the Lord says, throw it down on the ground. So Moses throws his staff on the ground and it turns to a snake. And Moses was terrified. I would be too, by the way, that would freak me out. I'm a deer hunter and a southern boy. Snakes are not a good thing for us, okay? And the Bible says that he turned and he ran away. In verse 4, then the Lord told him, reach out, grab its tail. If you know anything about snakes, that's a bad idea. Reach out and grab its tail. So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. Here's what I want you to know about this staff that Moses is holding. First of all, he's familiar with it. He's comfortable with it. He had been a shepherd leading these sheep. This is something that he would have carried every single day. He would have used this to guide the sheep, to correct the sheep, to steer them away from trouble. This is something I would imagine probably has like a spot on it where it's like, that's where my hand goes. And exactly this way, he probably had an incredible comfort as he would use this shepherd's staff. It was something he was incredibly and immensely familiar with. And when he protests before the Lord that, God, I don't think you can use me. I don't think I'm the right person for the job. And what if they don't believe me? And I'm not a good communicator. And all the excuses that Moses began to persist before the Lord with, God simply asked him the question, what's in your hand? Because I'm going to use what you already have. I'm calling you and I'm going to use what you've got. And I just wonder sometimes, like, well, what did Moses think of that staff? Was it something that he was endeared to, that he liked it? Was it something that he felt like maybe he was penalized to? I never thought I was going to be a shepherd. This isn't the life I thought I was going to live. Was it something that he appreciated, or was it something maybe he resented a little bit? I've always wondered. It's just the question that I don't even have an answer to. But what I want to do is I want to look down today and I want to ask you this question. What's in your hand? What do you have? Because I believe with all of my heart, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that God is speaking into your life. And he's saying, I want to use you. I actually want to call you to do great things. And I think that there are times that we protest against the Lord and say that you can't want to use me. There's no way that I'm qualified, or that I'm good enough, or I'm not like her, or I'm not as smart as him, and I'm not as organized. Or maybe you thought, God, you could have used me if my plan had worked out, but I certainly didn't think I would be here, or that I would have my past, or my record, or my reputation, or whatever it is. God, I don't know if you really can use me. And the question that we're going to ask ourselves today is this: what is in our hand? What do we already have? The title of my message today is Use It or Lose It. We're going to see how God took something that Moses knew well, something that he was extremely familiar with, and how God would take that and he would use that to be the first sign of how God wanted to use him, not to be the leader of sheep, but the leader of God's people. An immense amount of people that God wanted to call, redeem, restore, build trust with, teach how to worship him, walk with him, follow his precepts. This would be the man God would give the law of God to. This would be the man that would fulfill what God wanted to do in his people, which is the same thing that God wants to do in us: get us out of slavery, get slavery out of us, put a purpose on the inside of us so that we can make a difference in the lives of those around us. So let's just break down the statements that God said to Moses. First, he says, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? And I want you to be thinking, what's in your hand? This is how the Spirit of God is going to communicate to you today. What is in your hand? Let's try to identify that. But the first thing that God asks Moses to do is he says, throw it down. Get rid of it. Throw it on the ground. I don't know how Moses feels about this. Moses might be thinking, man, I don't want to throw it down. Like, this is all I got. I know this is like my piece of equipment. This is my staff. I don't want to let this thing go. Maybe Moses was like, heck yeah. Like, I'm glad for this thing to be gone. I don't want this job anyway. And he throws the thing down. But here's what God asks him. Will you let go what's in your hand? Do you trust me enough to do what I say? Will you let go of what's in your hand? And here's the challenge, is that oftentimes I think that God first wants to know, what are you holding on to? What you got? And then he wants to know, are you willing to let it go? And I just believe with all of my heart that for me and for you, there are probably things in our possession that we should let go. Let me read you a scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Here's what the Bible says. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as through Christ he forgave you. Here's what I want to say to us. Listen, there is none of us immune to the reality of this scripture. There are things inside of our lives that God wants us to let go of. And there might be things right now that you say, God, I really want your will. God, I really want your power. God, I really want you to do great things in my heart and in my life and in my story. And God's like, great, but I need you to let go of some things. I need you to throw it down because it isn't good for you. It's not going to get you there. And I know that you like it. I know that you're comfortable with it, but I need you to let it go. Now, here's something else I want to say, that I think there are times that God sometimes wants us to let go of things that maybe they're not bad. Maybe they're not sinful at all. Maybe they're really good things, but God simply wants to know, like, hey, Do you trust me? And I know you have that thing in your hand, but are you holding it with a grip or are you holding it with an open hand? Do you trust me enough? Will you let it go? I think of the rich young ruler in the New Testament of the Bible who went to Jesus and he's like, hey, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus is like, hey, do this, do that, do the other. And he's like, I do it. Like, I got it. And then he goes, great. Now, the next thing that I want you to do is I want you to sell all of your possessions so that you can give that to the poor. The Bible says that he walked away sad because he had many things. And what we learn about the rich young ruler is that he had a grip on something and God himself said, let that go. And he just wouldn't do it. Now, if you've been a part of our church for any length of time, here's something you know about me. I love to deer hunt. I love it. I've been doing it my entire life. Grew up with my dad as a deer hunter. And I remember years ago when God first called me to be a pastor of a church. Listen, Lauren and I, we were so broke, man. I mean, it was rough. When God called us into an obedient step of being a pastor, he called us to leave our jobs, change our lifestyle. He called us to take some radical steps of faith, and we were doing it, man. Yes, Lord. And I remember there was a season in time that I remember thinking to myself like, well, you know, I'm a pastor, and that means I work on the weekends. And so every Sunday, I'm going to be in front of my church, and I'm going to be serving people. And on Saturdays, I'll probably be getting prepared and getting ready. And I remember thinking in that time of my life like, I'm going to have to quit hunting. And that was that's a big deal for a guy like me because it's something I had always done my entire life and something that I love a lot. And I remember thinking, first of all, I couldn't afford it. Okay. So it was a little easier to let it go, admittedly, right? At that time, it was like, well, it's not that big a deal. I can't afford to go anyway. But I remember thinking, I may have to give this up forever. If I'm going to be obedient to the Lord, I'm probably going to have to let this go. And I remember a season of my life where I said, I'm going to sell out. I'm gonna get rid of everything that I own, tree stands, guns, everything. I'm just gonna get rid of it. And here's the interesting thing. In my heart, I remember having to resolve with myself that if this is what God is asking me to do, then God, the answer is yes. And as hard as it was, I let it go. The interesting thing was, God never wanted me to let it go. In fact, I hunt more now than I ever have. In fact, I'm more successful a hunter now than I've ever been. In fact, God's opened more doors for me to hunt in different places than I've ever been to before. And here's the thing. Here's my little story. And I know it's insignificant and it's kind of a small thing. But for me, it was a big deal. And here's what I know is that God just wanted to know, Josh, how much do you love me? And if I asked you to let go of what you've gripped your whole life, would you do it? I said yes. And he didn't take it from me. He gave it right back to me. And that's the exact same thing that he does right here in the life of Moses, because he's going to ask Moses to pick that staff right back up. The second thing that we see is this. When Moses lets go of the staff, the Bible says it becomes a snake. And again, like that, like, listen, if you like snakes, I think you're weird. Okay. I don't mean that offensively. It's just, that's a little crazy. I used to know a guy that had like a whole room full of them and he'd feed them and he'd pull them. And like, listen, I didn't ever want to hang out in there. I'm not a snake guy. Again, I'm a deer hunter. They scare me to death. If you've ever walked up on one, they're startling. Okay. So if you like them, that's cool. But the reality is for most of us, scares us to death. And that's exactly what happens to Moses. Exactly the thing is that God says, hey, what's in your hand? Well, I got this staff. Throw it down. Moses is like, cool, man. And he does it out of obedience to the Lord. And then what happens? That sucker turns into a snake, and that's not cool. And like me, Moses is like, whoa. And the Bible says that he starts to run. And here's where I want to, this might be the meat of the sandwich for you today. Because here's what I want you to see is the Bible says that Moses was terrified. And here's what I want to say to you today. So for some of you, what's in your hand may actually scare you. What you hold may be your greatest source of fear. So maybe the thing that's in your hand is actually something that terrifies you. Let me say it like this. Maybe you're thinking, there's no way God could use me. There's no way. I have all this story. I have all this past. I have this record. I have this reputation. There's a belief about me. I've never fit in. I've always been the outcast. I've never had a voice. It may very well be that you actually have such a strong personality, that you're such a big charismatic type of personality that you've been off-putting toward people. And you think people don't want me around, and you've hidden yourself in corners and in places, and you've tried to find a place to fit and a people to be with. And here's what God is saying to you today. Hey, what's in your hand? And you're saying, God, there's no way you could ever use what's in my hand. What's in my hand actually scares me. What's in my hand has always been repulsive to people. What's in my hand disqualifies me. And here's what I want to say to you loud and clear. I need you to hear me. That isn't true. In fact, if you were with us just a few weeks ago and you were with us when Austin spoke on a Sunday morning, that was exactly the big idea of his message, is that your life and where you are now and what you hold is not a disqualifier for you to be used mightily by the Lord. There's this thing that we do as people, it's very natural. And there's actually this thing that we do that we will often run back to places of pain, even if we don't like them. We'll run back to dark spots. We'll run back into bondages, not because we want to be there, but because it's comfortable. It's because it's what we know. One of the men in my life group calls it like wearing an old hat. It's exactly how he says it. It's not necessarily that I like the hat. It might have some fade on the color. It might have some sweat stains on the bill. But you know what? It's a hat that's comfortable, and I know what it feels like, and I know exactly how to put it on. And there are oftentimes in our lives that the very thing that's in our hand is the very thing that scares us the most. And I want to speak into your life this morning because I feel like God is saying, hey, what's in your hand? And the thing that you have always thought will disqualify you is actually the thing that I'm going to use most in your story. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. I've got a lot of verses for you here. The Bible says, give all your worries and your cares to God. Why? Because He cares for you. And I know that some of you are like, there's no way that God can use me. I've got a criminal record. Hey, there's no way that God can use me. I've been divorced multiple times. Hey, there's no way that God could use me. I've got a poor reputation. Hey, there's no way that God could use me. I've got secrets. Oh, the secrets. If you knew who I really was, man, you would know that God can't use me. And here's what I'm telling you is that God's saying, would you just give that to me? Would you just trust me? I know it might scare you, but it does not scare me. Listen to me very carefully. Nothing that you've been through is wasted. God wants you to use what is in your hand, even if what's in your hand scares you a little. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says this, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I want to encourage those of you that are afraid of what's in your hand, afraid of whatever it is that holds you captive from walking in the fullness of God in your life. Here's what I want to say to you, that is a spirit that has come against you to not walk out and fulfill what God has called you to do and who, more importantly, God has called you to be. And I'm encouraging you to speak against that spirit of fear and speak to the spirit of power and love and sound mind on the inside of you, because God has you right where He wants you to be. Nothing that you have been through is wasted. God can use everything. Every good and perfect gift is from Him, and He wants to put gifts inside of your life. So I'm telling you, fight against the spirit of fear and fight for the Spirit of God and His power at work in your life. Last verse before we move on is Isaiah 41:10. This is a verse that I pray is a verse of just strength and encouragement to you. This may be an anthem for you to lean on, to pray, to call on God, to quote until you believe it. Here's what the Bible says. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, because I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. Watch what the Bible says. This is a promise from the Lord. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Listen, some of you, God said, what's in your hand? And you're like, look, it freaks me out. And it freaks others out. And I don't think, well, that's the spirit of fear. We're going to let that thing go, and we're going to let God have His way in us. The last thing that we see here, when God speaks to Moses and He says, what's in your hand? Moses is like, I got this staff. God's like, cool, let it go. Yes, sir. And I just love Moses' obedience every time. And then when he lets it go, he's afraid because it turns into a snake. And then God says something that is a little bit crazy. He says, now reach down there and pick it up. But He specifically says, grab it by its tail. And I think Moses is probably thinking like, man, I've been in the desert leading these sheep. Snakes are a danger to my flock. And anytime that I see a snake, I don't grab it. And I certainly don't grab it by its tail. In fact, I would suspect that Moses might use the staff to actually beat the snake, keep it off the sheep. I have no idea. It's a little bit of an assumption, but I'm thinking that's probably not what he's accustomed to doing, is grabbing snakes by their tail. But that's exactly what God says to do, and that's exactly what Moses does. And here's what I'm saying to us today, is that oftentimes what God speaks into our lives won't make sense. There are times that God will lead us to points of decision, and he will speak into our lives, stories, situations, and it will not make sense to us. It will not make sense to the people around us. It might not make sense to culture, but God has spoken. And everybody else might be thinking, you're crazy, man. Hey, you're crazy. You're going to grab that thing by its tail. That's crazy. But here's, I said this last week and I want to say it again. Here's what I know, just from experience in my own life, that if you know that you've heard from God, you can endure anything, including grabbing the thing you might fear by the worst possible place. I'm encouraging you this. Don't trust logic. Don't trust your own experiences all the time. Please don't trust culture, because it's never going to be accurate. Here's what I would suggest, is that you trust the Spirit of the living God. And there might be times in our lives where we've got to lose it. Man, I got to let go of what's in my hand. And there might be times that what we hold in our hand scares us, and we disqualify ourselves as a result of it, or we're afraid of it for whatever reason that your circumstance has dictated fear of that thing. And then there are times that God says, grab hold of something, and maybe it won't make a whole lot of sense. And so I want to end right here. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, relatively popular passage of scripture perhaps you've heard before. If not, it's going to be really good for you. If you've heard it before, just let it saturate in your heart as the truth from God's word that it is. And here's what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's exactly what I saw Moses doing in response to the Lord. What's in your hand? It's a staff. Let it go. He lets it go. He's fearful, runs away. God says, don't run, go back and pick that thing up by the worst possible place. What does Moses do? He just picks it back up. And what happens? The snake turns right back into a staff. Essentially, God is saying to him, I'm going to use what you have. I'm going to use it even if it freaks you out just a little bit. And listen, the thing that I asked you to let go, I'm actually going to return to you, and it's going to be useful to you in this mission, because God wanted him to go do this as an act of his presence with Moses. I'm actually going to use what you have. Listen to me carefully. God wants to use what you know, what you're comfortable with, what you've experienced, sometimes what you fear. God wants to use your situation, story. He wants to use you. And sometimes it'll be scary, and sometimes it won't make a whole lot of sense. But the Bible says, listen, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And here's what I want to emphasize, because I do this too often. I would imagine you do too. Let's both make an effort to stop. The Bible says, do not depend on your own understanding. Man, I do this too much. Strategize, think, and it's like, hey, listen, it's not always, I can't figure it all out. I've got to depend on the Lord. He knows better. He's smarter. He's got more wisdom. He created me, for goodness sake. I don't know all the answers. So I'm encouraging you. I'm encouraging me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do. And the Bible promises that He will direct our paths. Listen to me. Some of you today, God's leading you to do things and you're like, it doesn't even make sense. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Last verse, and we're going to pray. This is an encouragement to you. This is a reminder to you. And here's the reminder. It comes from John chapter 16, verse 13. It's the very words of Jesus. And here's what he says. He's talking to his disciples, and he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, and he's talking about the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, in context here, the Holy Spirit hadn't been given to these disciples yet. In our context here, we have the Spirit of God. Listen to me, if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation, the Bible promises that you have a deposit of the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you, the third person of the Trinity. The Spirit of God dwells on the inside of every single follower of Christ. And here's what Jesus is saying, when you have my Spirit with you, He guides you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. Listen to me, follower of Jesus. The Spirit of God is on the inside of you. You don't have to walk with a spirit of fear, but you can walk with love, power, and a sound mind. You can trust that the Helper, the Spirit that dwells within you, will guide your every step, whether it makes sense or not, whether it's logical or not, whether you have to let something go or not, whether you have to grab hold of something that terrifies you and doesn't make sense or not, whether you have to utilize something that freaks you out and you've been afraid of your whole life or not, if the Spirit of God is leading you, it's the truth, it will be good for you, and it will impact others. I encourage you, follower of Christ, stand tall in who you are in Christ Jesus, because regardless of whether it's gone the way you want it to go, whether it's going the way you expected or not, maybe you have found yourself on a complete detour. I didn't think I would be here. Tune your ear to the Spirit of God because He wants to guide you. He wants to use what's in your hand. If you've been with us all morning, and maybe you're not a follower of Jesus, here's what I want to tell you, that by receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior today, that same Spirit of God that I just described that dwells on the inside of us can dwell on the inside of you. It's a guarantee. It's a promise. And so if that's you, I want to pray with you. And I actually want to encourage you to just repeat a very simple prayer after me. We do this every single Sunday because you can walk in the same confidence and this same power as every follower of Jesus does. Here's our prayer. I just want you to say this. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Listen to me, if you said that prayer for the first time, congratulations. That is amazing. We would love to hear from you. Please contact us at cotr.live and let us know the decision that you've made. Listen, Church on the Rock, thank you for being faithful with us on our summer adventure. We can't wait to see you right back here next Sunday. I love you guys.